Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back at the League Cup defeat to Stirling Albion, preview the League One opener against Alloa, and we'll also hear from Jordan Brown and manager Jim McAnally. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, how are you? How's your week been?
Yeah, very well, Colin. Thanks. How's yourself?
I'm not too bad. Dramatic change in the weather for last week. We're complaining we were too hot, now we're too wet.
Yeah, I think last episode we were complaining about being too warm at Balmoor, but I think if you're at Balmoor this afternoon and the pouring down rain, you'd have had something to say. Yeah, certainly a change in weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's, hopefully Saturday will be okay. For going ahead, I can't see any real issues with it. Hopefully the rain does kind of subside a wee bit, but it is a bit concerning that the middle of the school holidays and we've got all this floods.
Yeah, there was a lot of things in the on Facebook the other day about the place in Peterhead and Aberdeen. You can almost guarantee that as soon as a bit of rain comes, we sort of come to a standstill. It's the same with the snow, but hey, we're Scottish, we're never happy with the weather, really, are we?
And we'll debate about the aspects of summer football at the same time as well.
Because we can maybe go for league reconstruction as well.
Yeah, that's it. Right, let's get dived straight in then. Last Saturday was the final League Cup group game, or final League Cup game if you want to be that critical, against Stirling Albion away down there. Maybe a lot of folk would have thought it was going to be maybe a slightly easier kind of affair. I don't think we kind of thought of that before last week. We did think it was going to be a tough test, particularly as Stirling had an outside chance of qualifying as well, depending on how the results went. So overall, what was your kind of thoughts on the game?
I didn't expect it to be an easy one, and as it transpired, it wasn't. I think. Yeah, Jim made a few changes as well. I think last week we sort of wondered how, obviously, we couldn't qualify. So I think, to me, it was the right decision to make a few changes. I don't think that team will be the team that starts on Saturday. Again, I think there'll be a few more changes. But the fact is, I generally think this cup competition has been, we spoke about last week, Dick Campbell's comments about being glorified pre-season friendlies. I think it is a wee bit like that. I'm glad we've come through it. We've come through it unscathed as well. In terms of injuries, and it's all gearing up to Saturday's game against Alloa. But the game on Saturday was at a slow start, conceded two goals from corners. That's the most frustrating and the bit of a bugbear that I've got with it is the fact that it's two set pieces. But Stirling were worthy winners on the day.
You mentioned the sort of slight rotation. Obviously, no McLean, as we knew anyway, because he was suspended. McCarthy wasn't going to be making it either. Cameron and Ferry, although Cameron did come on, they weren't going to be starting either, slight niggles as well. So there was, a few changes. As you said, probably thinking about the game this coming Saturday with his selection in mind. But the guys that did play, you're quite happy to see them getting minutes anyway.
Yeah, I think all the players needed minutes over the four games that we've had. And also, we've mentioned before how strong we think the squad is this season. So I don't think it was in terms of a weaker squad. It was a far much more rotated squad than it has been the previous games. But again, I think it's gearing up to, as you said, Saturday's game with Simon Ferry dropping out and Lyle Cameron. I think it'll be a different team that start on Saturday, given the performance on Saturday, which... I thought it was okay in periods of the game. But like I said, I thought Stirling were worthy winners on the day. Once they went back ahead with 2-1, I don't really think we caused them too much troubles, to be fair.
You did have Donny Strachan back in as well. He played at right back, which meant that Mulligan was playing in a midfield. And it was a midfield that it consisted of Mulligan, Richie and Scott Brown. So none of them really are, I would say, naturally going to be the holding player. I know we've seen Scott Brown do it sparingly. Josh Mulligan maybe isn't that kind of player either, so it did kind of give us a wee bit of a concern about who was going to be the sort of covering player out of those three.
Yeah, that was, it reminded me a wee bit of square pegs and round holes. I can see why he's gone with that team, purely for the slight knocks that we've had ahead of Saturday, but again we sort of lost a little bit of shape that we've commented how good it's been last game against Inverness and Hearts. Sort of lost it by Nahan, that holding midfielder, as you said. Scott's played it sparingly throughout the last couple of seasons. Hamish Ritchie, I think he did it against Hearts late on in the game. He was asked to play a deeper role. So, again, you lose a lot of Hamish's quality by asking him to play at a deeper position. But, again, it was one of them games that we came, we couldn't qualify. There wasn't really much in it for us in terms of that we couldn't progress. So, square pegs, round holes. But, again, it's probably one of them games. You chalk off, you come through unscathed. There's nobody else with an injury and you look ahead to Saturday.
So, as you said, you mentioned the two goals there coming from corners. Dirt, as you said, it's a bit of a bugbear, particularly when you've got kind of big guys it's defending. But the first one, McGregor, he loses his marker. I think it's McDonald who's supposed to be picking him up. And I think by the reaction by McDonald once the ball went in, would suggest it was probably his man as well. But yeah, it's both goals, both opening the first two goals for Stirling are ones that if you're going to lose them in a game, make it that game and not a league game.
Absolutely, you don't mind conceding goals throughout games when it's been good play and whatnot. But one of my bugbears is losing goals from set pieces. It's something that I know that, you know, we both, Jim and the guys work a lot on set pieces, defending and attacking when they get a chance. But it was, I think there was a cluster of three or four guys for Stirling and like a pack, and then he's gone round and then he's headed it in. And then the second goal, sort of, I think, bypassed two or three players and boy in the post as well. He's going to come out and attacked it to clear it. Frustrating, really frustrating. I think so early in the game as well. I know there's nothing to play for, but, you know, losing goals to set pieces, it just, it's something we don't often do, and I just hope that's nice. Something's got to creep into this season that we start becoming a team that lose goals to set pieces, because you can quickly start to get frustrated if you're losing goals to set pieces. You know, maybe something just to work on, but yeah, it's a slight concern maybe going into the season that we're conceding set pieces.
It's something, particularly with the first one, because he's headed it inside the 6-yard box, I think. So that there might be an argument there that, you know, that area should have been the keepers. I think what you're going to find is that maybe Lenny isn't the kind of keeper that will kind of dominate his areas as such. He did have a Stirling player plus whoever was marking him in front. And if you look at the corner previous to the one where Stirling did score, he was making the point to the ref that he couldn't get out of his or off his line because of those two players. I would argue that it's up to him to, you know, I wouldn't say throw them out the way, but make sure that they know that's his area and he's the one who's going to dominate that area. If he can do that, he then gets the I wouldn't say a free catch, but he gets a catch and then therefore the goal doesn't come in. So maybe we're just kind of over dissecting it slightly, but okay, McDonald did lose his marker. And give him a free header, but I would say as well that maybe Wilson maybe should have been a bit more dominant in that area.
I'd agree. I think going back to your first point about Lenny Ney maybe coming forward, I think last year when we had Josh Ray, he's a very tall lad, but he's a very confident goalkeeper. We mentioned numerous times towards the end of a game when we're leading by that odd goal or trying to get a point from it, he would come and catch in the dying seconds and, you know, relieve the pressure. Lenny, I think he's a different sort of goalkeeper. But touching on the point you made there about, you know, he's got to be stronger, I completely agree. Goalkeepers now, compared to maybe what it was 5 years ago, they will get that free kick. So if the player, if there is any player who's stood in front of Lenny Wilson, or Brett Long, he's made the referee aware of it. A slight push on the striker, Lenny will get the free kick. Goalkeepers will get that free kick. And it's surprising that Lenny isn't trying to make more of it, especially when you know it's set pieces, you know, it can be an Achilles heel for some teams, which is why I hope it doesn't creep into our season. But goalkeepers will get free kicks for it. So I am surprised he isn't alerting the referee and then the next opportunity, you know, taking one and theatrically throwing himself down to make the referee aware that there's something going on. So, yeah, maybe something that Lenny's a young keeper as well, 24, 23?
24, yeah.
24. A lot of years ahead of him, but it's maybe just something he needs to sometimes either, you know, give the man a wee shove or take that knock and go down and get the free kick, which 90% of the referee will give you.
And that's maybe what's sort of played on his mind or played on Stirling's mind as well when they then start putting the corners in and making them in-swingers and, you know, get them right on the top of him. I think the one for the second goal, he maybe didn't make a great connection on it, and it goes sort of to the front post. And as you said, even if it goes there, it should really have been dealt with, and it's going through three players before it gets to the man at the back post.
Combination of errors with that one, and unfortunately it's ended up in the back of the net. As you said, there's about three players that's gone past, three of them could clear it. Like you said, you just wonder if it's playing on Lenny's mind. You hope it's not. You hope it's just a bad 15-minute period. But again, it's something that I don't want creeping into our season, or else, you know, they'll start playing on the defenders' minds, never mind the goalkeepers, and then you start as a team defending deeper. And it's something that we really don't want to happen.
Sandwich in between those two goals was Peter's only goal, which came from Scott Brown from the penalty spot. And it's touching on maybe what you said earlier on about Hamish Ritchie playing a slightly deeper role. I think the one or two occasions that he did actually get forward, one of them it resulted in a penalty. And weirdly, I think that's what's been missing from the four games, is because of the injuries, and maybe because he's trying to play as many players as he can during this group stage. Although he's played every game, he's been playing a slightly deeper role, whereas last season he was playing, you know, wide right, wide left, or the number 10. So the one occasion that we do see him get forward, we get the penalty.
Hamish is a class player. We said that when he came in for Locos after the lockdown. We mentioned it through commentary and podcast. We were big fans of him, and Jim is as well. But like you say, it's maybe just the fact that he's trying to give everybody game time, that it's maybe just moving Hamish slightly deeper or wider. But in behind the striker, you know, you give the ball to Hamish Ritchie, even Lyle Cameron, these are really talented players, the ball at their feet, they want to attack and run. So I hope we're going to get to see him with a deeper sort of role. I really want him up there with Russell McLean, or whether it be Naya Payne, and linking up. Because as you said, the stuff that we do well as a team seems to come through Hamish quite a lot. And I think that's a focal point that we really need to focus on. So I think we'll do well if that's the case with Hamish behind striker.
So we'll get into the half, 2-1 down. Jim's probably told them just to kind of keep it tight for 5-10 minutes. You know, we're still in it, we can get something out of it, and then bang, within what, 90 seconds of the second half starting, Jack Leach pulls out a great strike that I guess we couldn't really hate any arguments about the goalkeeping with that one. Possibly the only argument is that nobody's closed them down quick enough to prevent them taking the shot.
Yeah, Leach had a chance in the first half. He beat a couple of players and just put it past the post. I was a bit of a sighter for him. We ken how good Jack is. We were disappointed when he left a couple of years ago. I think he's a really good player. And he sort of come back to bite us in the backside, as you said, a really good finish. But maybe they're analysing it and being critical of it again, the closing down. Maybe just something we need to be a wee bit sharper on. But again, four games into the glorified pre-season, as I'd call it, I think, yeah, you can maybe let them off. But again, if that sort of thing's happening in a month's time, when you'd expect the players to be more up to speed than what they are now, then yeah, certainly cause for concern then.
It was a bit weird, because once we were kind of 3-1, didn't we seem to play a bit better? I don't know if that had anything to do with the fact that Dell was on and Lyle Cameron was on as well. I don't know. But for some reason, we waited until we were 3-1 down before we actually started piling on the pressure. We know about half an hour to go.
I wonder whether pride, you know, it is a lower league club, but obviously we kind of progress in the tournament, but you really don't want to be coming on the receiving end of a 4-1, 5-1 defeat going into the opening day of the season. So I think personal pride, like you said, the experience of Derek Lyle coming on as well, maybe help just get them going. He's done a lot of the coaching work as well. But yeah, frustrating. I think obviously when we've come out, we're 2-1 down, and they've scored a third pretty early on, it sort of just killed it as a game. But you just wonder, the longer it had gone at 2-1, you might have gotten something for it. But again, it was a meaningless game, really.
And the goal that Dell did score, which was chalked off for offside, it was interesting, because if you watch the highlights on Stan Arvin's YouTube, good highlights. I mean, I did enjoy watching the highlights. Multiple camera angles, etc., which is really good. But funnily enough, there was no multiple camera angles of Dell's chalked off goal, which looked pretty much like it was on one side.
You're not trying to suggest something, are you, Mr. Byers?
I'm not. I wouldn't be suggesting anything at all. I just found it interesting that we've got multiple angles of most of the incidents. But however, the one that was level with where Dell was when he headed it in, somehow it disappeared.
Yeah, there was maybe technical difficulties. We can all appreciate the lower league clubs we struggle with technical problems. But yeah, I would agree with you. There was, again, touch on what you just said there, good camera work. I think the commentary was good. The guys as well at Stirling, so credit to them. But like you said, I thought he was level. I thought I would see another highlight of it, but unfortunately we didn't. But again, maybe just slightly changed the things had we gotten a goal at that point. But I think at worst, I think he was level, but we'll never know.
Yeah, so we finished bottom, one win, three losses. We've kind of mentioned this a few times, but it is a precursor to the start of the league campaign, which is we're bread and butter. That's the most important thing. We shouldn't really be sort of taking too much or reading too much into those four games.
No, to me, they were really good exercises going into the season. You're going to play many teams over the next 12 months of the quality of Hearts and Inverness. We commented as well the strength of both Hearts and Inverness and the teams that they put out. And even Cove, you know, they were a good side and we managed to beat them. So, but I think it's weird because we finished bottom with one win, but I still think there's optimism going into the season. It maybe sounds a bit weird saying it, but I generally think there's a lot of optimism compared to what there was last year. I think we've got a really good squad. And as you said, this competition to me and to you, I think was just building up for what is going to be a tough campaign in League One.
Right, and let's get the thoughts now of the manager after the game.
It's a strange game in many ways. I just thought that we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot with the, you know, the way we were defending the set pieces. You know, we got ourselves back into it with the penalty straight away. To be honest, I thought the first half was actually quite a good game of football. If you took away, you know, your defending, especially your defending the set pieces, I thought it was quite a good end to end game. Both teams were just going at it. And, you know, with the missing settles in like that, we got in a good position to, you know, we should have done better with final passes, you know, shots, etc. And, you know, I just felt at half time that if we could have just lifted it a wee bit more, then, you know, we could have went on and, you know, certainly drawn and won the second half. But to lose the goal so quickly, and again, it was just a long ball for the goalkeeper where, you know, that left back doesn't get tight. And then I think Jack had pulled off at Hamish and got in behind him, you know, and it was a really good finish. I mean, I watched the goal again and myself enabling the goalkeeper. It was a terrific finish. So after that, it was a strange game because they just went in and then sat in. And, you know, I think for the rest of the game, we just had loads and loads of possession. And I think if the disallowed goal would have stood, it would have been an interesting last 20 minutes or whatever. But obviously, you know, that didn't happen. So it was okay as far as performance second half, but with a lot of good possession. What really I thought was good about it in the second half is how much fitter we looked than the opposition, because I thought they'd tire quite badly, and, you know, we kept the ball moving quite well. But, you know, at the end of the day, I knew Saturday, you know, I wanted to apart from Cookie, who was struggling with injury, I wanted everybody else to play again. You know, Dell had actually been well earlier last week, and he was ready to start, you know what I mean? So, you know, we changed the team a bit, and everybody's now got plenty of game time, and, you know, we didn't get any injuries, and that was really important to me, because Andy McCarthy's now fit. You know, he was pushing, he played Saturday, but resisted temptation. And, you know, so we can go to training in the morning night and get ourselves ready for Saturday with, you know, just about everybody to select.
Does the first two goals, does that kind of infuriate you, or does it kind of tear your hair out a wee bit?
Well, to be honest, with the first goal, with the wee concern with Andy McDonald before the game, because he'd taken a migraine, and we asked him if he wanted to pull out, and he said, you know, when it happens to him and it takes paracetamol out, it'll subside eventually, you know. But it was his man that scored the first goal, and it was actually anywhere near him, as you know, if you've seen the goal, you'll have seen that, you know. So I suppose I can forgive him for that. The second one's horrible because it comes through that many players, you know, that for me that shouldn't happen. Someday somewhere, you know, to the front post, all the way into the back post, should try and either back or not the back post. To possibly get something on it, you know. So it was a horrible cheap goal. As I said, the first one was bad enough, but it's going to be hard to be the way he was. Kind of understand that. But there was other set pieces where I just felt as though, you know, we didn't take enough responsibility. I mean, the second goal was Iceland Ayers man that scored it, and that comes from. He probably thinks that when the ball comes in, oh, I've done my job. But the thing is, it's the second ball that generally is scored. I mean, their goal against Russell's goal against Hearts last week is the second ball, you know what I mean? It's not just the first ball that's the damage. So you've got to keep continuing to defend these set pieces like that for, you know, until you clear your box. So it's something that, you know, we've all spent time, we'll work on it. And for me, if we can avoid being that type of team that loses goals like that, then I think we'll be okay, you know. We don't think we're still having, you know, we're still number resources wise, and you know, when they're bringing off the bench, you should see the strength in our squad, you know. But I just don't, you know, I was quite pleased with what I'd seen, the way we finished and stuff like that, but we were fit. I thought boys would stop Brown and Haynes were excellent, you know, and we got a bit of the game, you know.
Do you feel slightly hard done by Derek's goal being chopped off?
I couldn't believe it was chopped off at the time. I mean, I need to see it again, but, you know, the guys that were sitting along that and likely didn't think he was offside. And again, the annoying thing was it's something we've been working on, that ball, if you got annoyed that. Whipping it in, not just quite as high, but a wee bit lower, so it's bringing everybody else into the equation. Scott Brown actually won against Cole last week, he's right through, we're trying to play into that area, you know. So, it was a terrific finish, and, you know, I think it would be an interesting finish to the game, if it just did, you know. But, anyway, it didn't happen. As I say, we move on, it was one of the days where, you know, we changed the team the week before, and it's just kind of us saying to the other guys, well, look here, everybody's in the same amount of game time, and, you know, you've had a fair crack at it, so, you know, it's time to, as I said to them after the game, the real ball comes out next week, and we need to be ready for it.
Was that important for you, that you got everybody as much game time as possible before the league campaign starts?
That is important. I mean, I think you've got to give everybody the opportunity, and if you don't give them the opportunities, then, you know, they can come back at you and say, oh well, you know, I never had a fair crack at the work, and I think we've been fair with everybody before a good game time, and Cookie's only one, really. I mean, he's that kind of a really sold shit for quite a while now, and it's like there's a possibility there's a wee stress fracture down there, you know what I mean? But no, an X-ray didn't show up, but we're saying he's the only one that's maybe short of game time. But I think everybody else has been pretty much had the game time that they need to get the fitness up. You know, Jason was a wee bit disappointed I took him off on Saturday, but, you know, Jason's suspended next week, so to Dell again, whilst it was, you know, the game was exposed a wee bit because we were pushing on. Again, even though they've done well for 15 minutes, you know what I mean, 15, 20 minutes, so he gives a wee bit of food for thought because he's, you know, I know he's young, but he's not really showed any major weaknesses yet, you know.
As you can probably tell from Jim's kind of reaction, he's not overly worried about the loss as such. It seems like what we were saying last week, it's just important that he gets as many guys to play and get themselves ready for this coming Saturday.
I think that showed with his team selection. As I said earlier on, there wasn't really a holding midfielder going with the lineup that he had. So, as you said, he's quite happy everybody's got the game time. Cookie, obviously, he's got an injury. Hopefully, he'll be back soon and can get some game time. But I think everybody would have been quite happy just to come through this 4 games in the Premier Sports Cup and, you know, gearing up to what, as we've said, will be a difficult League One campaign. And thankfully, we're going in with a fully fit squad, apart from, in terms of injuries, Cookie being out.
Right, we're going to hear from another one who was part of the starting lineup. That was Jordan Brown, so we'll hear from him now as well.
Okay, Jordan, 3-1 on Saturday, doing it Stirling. Maybe 3-1, maybe flattered them slightly. I don't think it was a 3-1 game, was it?
Maybe slightly, no. I think if you look at the game, we conceded two really poor goals from the set pieces from the corners. And then obviously Jack scores from outside the box at the start of the second half, which just kind of killed the game, really, and allowed them to just sit in. But yeah, we huffed and we puffed, but we need to be more clinical, and I include myself in that, like in 4 or 5 maybe attempts on goal, but nothing that was really too threatening. So yeah, we know what we need to do going into the season starting on Saturday, but yeah, it's never nice to lose games, and that was obviously 3 of the 4 we lost, which yeah, it was a tough group, but never nice to kind of finish down the bottom of the group.
Was it maybe playing on your minds that it was essentially a dead rubber and the marks didn't really mean nothing in the grand scheme of things?
Kinda. I mean, it had a bit of pre-season vibes about it. Obviously, the whole cup competition has, with due to various reasons, really how quick it came round, and with all the kind of COVID stuff and the lack of training that we've had going on. But I think no, the incentive was there to finish second. We want to win the games, and we would have finished second in the group if we won the game. So yeah, it was disappointing to lose.
When you're conceding goals the way you did, particularly the first 2-1 goals, as you as a player, do you kind of look at that and go, maybe we should have done more, or is it with your hands?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone's got the responsibility to set pieces and we work on them. Jim Butters really goes into detail on them, and to be fair, since I came back in January, I think our defensive record defending them has been really good. We also conceded the one sticks in my head that Rory scored from a free kick at Cove, that my very first game back, but since then I don't think we've had too many issues, so it's disappointing. You don't want that to start keeping in, because if you start conceding poor goals and giving yourself one or two goals down as a start, then it's not easy to win games, especially in this league coming up.
Yeah, when you're missing players like Rusty and Simon wasn't playing, Andy McCarthy was just back for injury as well, so you're missing players like that. Does that make a huge difference, do you think, or do you think the squad is good enough in quality throughout that you can deal with that if it's a long term?
I think obviously that thing you mentioned there are key players, and they're going to be key players if we're going to be successful this season. I think we've got a really good core of 15, 16 boys that is really, really strong, so you hope you just get a bit of luck with injuries. But I think obviously the obvious one is Rusty. He's our big number 9, and it was well documented last year. We never really had that out-and-out striker really as such until maybe Nye had done it at the end of the season. So I think what we achieved last year was really good, considering. But, obviously we've got a lot of options in midfield and defence, but I think that everyone brings their own qualities, don't they? Like, size influential on the pitch, as you see, and with the way he dictates the play and speaks to everyone, communicator. And then Andy McCarthy, I don't think there's no one else like him in the league where good at winning the ball back. So yeah, everyone's got their own individual qualities, and we need to find a way to bring that together as a team. And obviously it's disappointing for Rusty after scoring against Cove to not be able to build it, but I'm sure he'll be hungry to do that this Saturday.
Is it difficult for you when you're sort of, I wouldn't say in and out the team, but you maybe get a run of a game and then you're back on the bench and then you're off the bench, is it difficult for you to find a routine?
Yeah, of course it is. Like, of course, no doubt about it, everyone wants to play 90 minutes every week, but I'm fully aware of where my fitness is at, where the squad's at, what the manager's been trying to do in this group stage to try and think. Yeah, I think I'd love to play longer than an hour when I do start. And I just up to myself though, like I say, I have to look at myself, and I looked at myself after Saturday, and I needed to be honest, I need to be converting chances, you know. I need to be, the squad, like I say, is really strong when you look at the players, especially the players that can play in and around that, like you say, that midfield, the front positions, you know, you've got a few of us there, and especially the three, look at Scott Side and Andy, who really play that central position, and you've got myself, Hamish, Lyle, Cookie, you know. So I think, yeah, I have to take my chances when they come, and the manager, even though I know the manager really well, I still feel like pressure, I've put a lot of pressure on myself to perform well, and yeah, I've just to build that. I feel really good fitness wise now. I mean, my weak niggle and that's gone, that I had in my ankle at the end of last season and the start of pre-season, so yeah, I'm ready to contribute when I can, and the bottom line is we need to score goals.
And as you said, the league's campaign starts, so the real hard work, I guess, starts now. How has the preparations been? How ready are you for the season, and how well do you think we're going to do?
Yeah, I think we are well prepared now. I think we actually managed to squeeze quite a few pre-season games in, although they weren't under the best circumstances. But and then we've had that four really, really, really tough games, and you could argue that four of the toughest games we could have got, really, you know. Even looking at Sterling on Saturday, they're an experienced side that will be challenged at the top of League 2, and we know how tough a league that is. But for ourselves, I think we'll have two good sessions this week, Tuesday, Thursday. We're down in Dundee tonight, and we'll all get together as a team. And yeah, sure, like I say, I think we just, a main focus this year, obviously, you've got to be solid defensive-wise, but we must look to score more goals, because I think we'll need to double the goals we scored last year, and that comes from right around the team, you know, if we want to be successful. And yeah, we've seen everything that kind of no one's really fancying us to do much at all, and probably looking at us to be one of the ones to fighting around, but we want to be affecting that top end of the table, and that's why we all play football, to be successful and win games. So I don't think there's any doubt that internally within the squad that we're strong, and that belief comes from the manager as well. You know, he's invested in us. Everyone brings their own qualities, everyone brings something different, and we need to find a way to click that all together, and that needs to start Saturday.
As Jordan kind of said there, and we kind of picked up, it probably wasn't a 3-1 game in the grand scheme of things. When you look at the score, you look at, oh, it's quite a heavy one. But as he said, the chances were there, but and he said himself, he probably didn't take them, the chances he had as well. So again, as we keep saying, we maybe shouldn't read too much into these games before we move into the league campaign.
No, I think if you're an outsider, you're looking at the group for Peterhead, and you see them finishing bottom. They've lost to Hearts, lost to Inverness, and beaten by a lower league club. And I think that's probably why the bookies have got us, you know, one of the favourites to finish bottom, as we've seen on our social media. But I think if you watch Peterhead, you've seen the way we've played. We have played some good stuff, even in periods that were against Hearts and Inverness, and obviously the game against Stirling. There is periods of the game where we've played well, but it's maybe a case of last season didn't take the chances. I think it'll be different this season. Lyle Carman, Hamish Ritchie, Naya Payne, Cookie come back as well. You know, really good players, technically gifted. So I think this season will fare better. And again, we're all looking for a positive start going into the game on Saturday.
So we'll have a quick look at the game on Saturday, and then we'll have a wee chat about how well we're going to do in terms of the league campaign, how well we're going to do and try and prove these bookies wrong that seems to have got us favourites for relegation. But first off, it's Alawa on Saturday, first game at home, which I think is probably, I don't know if it's a good game or if it's not. You know, Alawa's just been relegated, new manager, Barry Ferguson's in as well. I think there's a lot of, for me, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure on Alawa, and I think there's a lot of pressure on Barry Ferguson as a manager as well to prove that he's made the right decision by leaving Kelty on such a high, whereas he probably could have gone to Kelty or stayed at Kelty, had a season there, you know, probably had a successful season and then move on. But he's decided to go straight from sort of Lowland League straight up to League One. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares at this level.
Yeah, I was surprised that Barry did leave Kelty. I thought the fact that they'd gone into League Two, he'd have stayed. slightly different opinion in regards to Alaba. I think given the fact that Cove has spent a lot of money in terms of maybe transfer fees but wages, I think you've got Queen's Park, they've come up with ambitions, they're certainly motoring forward, and you've got Falkirk. I think Alaba, from their point of view, maybe just from outside, would be happy with playoffs. I think they will want to go back up, but I think they'd be quite happy with playoffs. But I think if come Christmas time they're near Rooney about top of the table, Barry Ferguson might come under a bit of criticism, but again, it's a big jump for him, I think. So this season, it's a big season for Alaba. You know, they've come down, as you said, they've got a new manager. I think they will be looking at the ground running, but I don't think there's going to be as much pressure on them as what there might be on the likes of Cove, Falkirk and Queen's Park.
I mean, you look at the players that he has brought in. He's brought in, like I said, Adam King, Connor Salmon, Mark Dernan's there as well, Mark Lamont and Craig Howie for Clyde. We can't have what good they are. So it's guys who are pretty experienced, especially at this level as well. So they should do relatively well. Whether or not they can all sort of gel as a team with such a rotation of players coming in and out following the relegation, it can only be... we'll have to wait and see. But again, if you look at their League Cup campaign, they only got 4 points with their group. You could argue their group was maybe slightly easier. They did lose to Brechin and Cowdenbeath, you know, two teams that are below them. Ironically, it was Brechin that beat Barry Ferguson, so that's a slight irony in that one. But again, you may not want to read too much of that, but you know, to lose to those two sides, you think, well, maybe there is going to be a pressure for Barry Ferguson to start off well.
The fact that they've signed five or six new players, it maybe is a good time to play them. And as you said, they've not had a chance to gel properly. A mixed bag in the cup as well. I think it is a good time to play them, especially up at Balmour as well. Maybe slightly different had it been an away game. I think they've got AstroTurf as well. So, yeah, I think the fact it's a home game against a newly relegated side with a new manager and a couple of new players in as well, I think it probably is the... On paper, it is a tough opener, but I think it's also a good one. As I said, the fact that it's home, I think, would maybe just give us a slight edge. But also, if you're the bookies, you've probably got Peter Head at odds on to an outside chance at getting anything from the game. But for some reason, all the bookies I think, that I've seen, the four or five, have all got us to finish rock bottom, which I do find surprising given the quality that we've brought in, that we're such favourites to go down, to be honest.
So I think we both can agree that the goalkeeping side of things is the only area where we're kind of uncertain as to who is going to be number one. Jim's given them both two games out of the four in the League Cup, both got one at home, one away, so that there's no sort of unfair advantage to either or. $1 million question then. If you're Jim McAnally, who do you start with? Do you start with Lenny Wilson, or do you go with Brett Long?
Based on the four games that we've had, up until Saturday, I'd have thought Lenny Wilson. But just with the incident at the corner, and as you pointed out about half an hour ago, the fact that he maybe just hasn't quite been the commander in his area, as we had with Josh Wright last year, I think I would probably just give the nod to Brett Long. Purely based on, as I said, the four games that we've had, and they've had two each, I just think we've looked a wee bit better with Brett Long in goals. But now that I've said that, it'll be Lenny Wilson that starts.
It really is a toss-up, and I guess... between sort of the two training sessions that they're going to have Tuesday and Thursday, and probably even right up until Friday night, Saturday morning, he may wait until he makes a decision. But between him and Jim Butters, the goalkeeping coach, they'll come up with the right decision. I mean, I don't know if you'll still kind of rotate them. I don't know. I don't know if that's a sensible thing to do during a league campaign, but they certainly. The problem is that you've got two decent goalkeepers. You've got to disappoint one of them. For me, I'm going to disagree with you. I would go with Lenny Wilson. I know what I said earlier. It goes totally against what I said, but I would give it to Lenny purely on the basis that I think he deserves at least five or six games in the league for a start, and then see how he gets on, because there are other aspects to his game, as I think you've mentioned previously about his communication and things like that with the back four, and his ability with the ball at his feet as well. So I mean, we'll have to wait, and it'll be Saturday morning before we just in a Ken fight. It's got to be, and that's, I guess that's a good thing.
And just to say, I mean, the fact that I'm picking out Brent Long over Lenny based on an incident that happened Saturday with corners, it shows you the fine margins that there is. But it's also a good problem to have. You know, sometimes you can go, right, I'm going to go with that goalkeeper. Oh, he's made a couple of mistakes, but you still go for him. We've got two really good goalkeepers. I can't imagine Brent Long has come in to play second fiddle. That he's going to push Lenny Wilson. Lenny would have been on, you know, when he signed on, he'd have been told, look, you're going to fight for your place as well. But yeah, I think it's really good this season. We've got two good goalkeepers that are going to push each other. And that can only make us a better team. Because I think periods last season, Josh had a couple of errors and you thought Lenny might have come in, but he didn't. This season, I do think if the keepers had a couple of poor games, that there will be rotation this season. But like you, I'm not sure whether they're going to rotate it regularly throughout the season. It might just be a case of if mistakes start creeping in, then he might change it.
The other issue that he's got, as he mentioned the audio there, Jason Brown is suspended, which is maybe just as well, because the referee, Stephen Reid, actually sent him off the last time he was off S-Waste last season, so maybe just as well. But he's suspended. Now, prior to Jadel coming in, I guess we would have thought that we would have had Simon Ferry playing at centre-half, maybe even having Josh Mulligan playing in there, but we do now have Jadel, who's come in, and I think he surprised quite a lot of people with his ability. And again, it's another one that it's going to give Jim a problem whether or not he wants to start him straight away, or maybe just try to ease him into it. But certainly it's another selection headache for him.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think, personally, in this one, I'd probably put Mulligan at centre-back and Strachan right-back with McDonald and Conroy, the other two. I think Mulligan, yeah, okay, there was that. Gary McKay-Steven beat him twice in the first half against Hearts, but overall, I think Mulligan has done well. We've got to remember he only played, 17 minutes of football last season, or 10 minutes or something, with his injury, so... I think he's done well. He deserves a chance. I would start him at St. McDonald. Now that I've said that, you'll probably go for Jadel.
I'm going to disagree with you again. I would go with Jadel again. Just because he looks so comfortable on the ball. It is the first game of the season, so I think it's if he is going to make any errors and things are going to go wrong, just make it that one. And plus the fact we know that Jason's only out for one game, so you know that he's going to be back in for the next one, so you've got that kind of that safety net. But you've also got the safety net of Simon Ferry in front of him as well, which Simon's going to keep him under control as well. So I would certainly give it to him, but again, it's one of those where he'll probably work with them over the next kind of couple of training sessions, and then make that decision maybe Friday night or Saturday morning.
So we know now that you've said Jadel, I've said Mulligan. We both know now that it'll be Simon Ferry that plays at centre half on Saturday. But again, that's what we've mentioned before. The players can play a lot of different positions. If anything, it probably makes it harder for Barry Ferguson's team, because how do you line up if? I mean, if you go Connor Salmon up top for them and you're up against Jadel, two big lads, or if you play Connor Salmon and it turns out it's Mulligan that's playing or Simon Ferry, they're going to fancy their chances. So, again, it maybe affects both managers in different ways. So, not a bad situation.
That's maybe the reason why it maybe won't be Simon Ferry, purely based on the fact that, you know, we've got Connor Salmon up top. We've also got, we'll be facing sort of Ben Armour and Stephen Boyd as well. They're obviously going to be up again. They'll have a bit more pace about them as well. And I just think that Jadel can cover both. He seems to be quite pacey, leggy, and he's obviously got that height to deal with Conor Salmon, but Andy McDonald can probably deal with him as well. So, you know, I think Sammy Ferry would be too small and too slow to compete against them, and that's no disrespect to Simon, but I just think that if you're going to play against Conor Salmon or Ben Armour or Stephen Boyd, whoever it is, you're going to have somebody that can cope with the physicality and the pace.
Yeah, true. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was Salmon and Ben Armour that played up top. The fact that Salmon's got that height and physical presence, I know Ben Armour has got a bit that slight bit of pace in behind. So I still think, even if it was Mulligan or Jadel, I think the two of them would cope with Salmon and Armour pretty well. As you said there, I would have a bit of concern based on that too if it was Simon Ferry. But I think the fact that we've got Jadel and we've got Mulligan, I kind of see it being Simon Ferry, to be honest.
Midfield as well, hopefully McCarthy is now going to be back. As Jim said, his audio, he was maybe slightly tempted to bring him in, but you'd much rather him being fully fit and fully recovered from his hamstring and be ready for this one. I would think he'd probably come back in again. I would maybe see that McCarthy, Ferry, Scott Brown midfield again, and thus allowing Hamish Ritchie to play further forward, maybe in that number 10. He did talk about that sort of diamond in the midfield again, just behind maybe Payne and Rusty, or even maybe playing him wide off of McLean with Payne on the other side. But I think if we're going to do anything this season, we need to have Ritchie further forward.
Absolutely, yeah, completely agree that having Ritchie play a deeper position for me, he can play it okay, but it's not part of his game. He's much better attacking. I think him linking up with Lyle Cameron will be key this season. Last season we had a lot of the ball, but we couldn't change our style up top with Ben Armour up top a lot, and he's not the tallest lad. So I think this year having Rusty up top as well, I think we've got that. We can change our style of play as well. We can go back to front quicker if we need to, or try and be more intricate through the middle with Cameron and Ritchie. But I think if we've got Brown, Ferry and McCarthy, allowing the guys like Payne, Ritchie and Lyle Cameron to go forward, I think now we've got that balance of attack and defence with McCarthy pushing forward as well. So I like the look, especially the balance of the team this season.
There's plenty of options for Jim to kind of go through and maybe just change the setup slightly. You know, it seems to have been the 4-5-1 or 4-1-4-1, whatever you want to call it, whereas now he's got the options of playing 4-4-2, 4-3-3, or however he wants to do it, which is obviously good for changing things up. So, looking forward to the league campaign kicking off now as well. So, we just really kind of wait just to get going.
Yeah, I think crucially now fans back in the stadium as well. Again, we've touched on it the last couple of games as well, but we were fortunate enough last season, you know, when it started off, and it was such an eerie experience, but to hear fans back in the stadium supporting the team again, you know, it gives the players a lift. Scott Brown mentioned that in the opening day as well. Getting fans back in the stadium, well, maybe they realised before how much of a difference it makes. So again, if there can be a crowd there for Saturday, a home against Alloa, just cheer the boys on, then that would be a brilliant boost for the guys as well.
I know we've had football in the last couple of years, but for some reason this sort of pre-season and this start of the league campaign seems to be one that we've been waiting for what seems to be like a really, really long time. I know, as I said, we've had football, but it just hasn't been the same. Now we've got that anticipation. We see the things on social media from the SPFL that they're bigging up and things like that as well. So for me, just really kind of wait to get going and get started, and try and improve on our position for our finishing position for last season.
Two years ago when the season was curtailed, we struggled that season. We were languishing near the bottom, and then the last game we had, you know, far further scored in the last 10 minutes, but we battered in that game. And then the season was curtailed. And last season it was stop-start, couldn't get a rhythm. 1 minute we're playing, the next minute we're called off for a couple of weeks, and it comes a couple of months. And it was really stop-start, but I like the look of this team. I like the signings that we've got, the way Jim's got the team set up, the way we play. Again, it's a difficult League One campaign I think we're in for, but it'll be a good one. A lot of good teams, like you, just really excited to get the campaign off and running, and hopefully we can start with a win.
So how do you think the season is going to go then? What is realistically a good season, where we're going to finish?
Yeah, realistically, I mean, I make no bones about it. It will be a tough season, but I think we've improved the squad. I think, realistically, we should be aiming for a solid mid-table. But yeah, have a good season, outside chance of getting promotion playoffs. But I think that's maybe just a little bit of a stretch given the teams that are in it. But I certainly think that we shouldn't really, this season, this could go back to haunt me, that we shouldn't be looking over our shoulder worrying about relegation. I think there is two or three teams at least that are worse off than us. And I think, you know, we should really be looking for six and seven comfortably. And then if we have a good end of the season, then maybe push on.
I think we need to, and it sounds quite cliche, but given the squad we've got, we're going over 20 players, it's probably one of the smallest squads that we've got. Certainly in the forward line, it is quite shorter numbers, so we need to avoid long-term injuries as much as possible. Yes, I know Gary Fraser's still out, but hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. So if we can avoid injuries and just start getting goals as well, if Rustic can come up with 15 goals next season, I think we'll do well. But we need other people to be chipping in goals as well. I know Scott Brown will chip in with goals. I think if Naya Payne gets one, I think it might be just be the catalyst for him just to build his confidence a wee bit as well, and get into double figures as well, which would be good. But we need to make sure that we're keeping it tight at the back and scoring the goals at the other end.
As Jordan said in his interview, you know, guys need to chip in with a few goals. Hopefully this season we'll see Jason Bound and Andy McDonald chipping in with a few. That they're big lads. So hoping that, you know, they can get a couple this season as well each. Scott Brown was our top goal scorer last season with 5 or 6 goals, as you said. I trust he can get about the 15 mark, which I don't think it's any stretch of the imagination. He's a really good striker. We've got the quality to give him the service. Yeah, if we can, cliche and easy to say, but score more goals, keep it tight at the back, should have a good season.
And we're just really, really, really looking forward to it. You know, it sounds like we're the kids the night before Christmas Eve or something like that. It's like, but genuinely, it is that kind of feeling and that kind of excitement just to get the league and a proper, full 36 game uninterrupted league campaign is what we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, we are excited for it. We've got to remember it's been 2 years since we had the opening day season feeling with fans in it. I mean, last season was such a weird season for everyone, as I've said just a couple of minutes ago. So the fact, as you said, an uninterrupted season, fingers crossed, fans back in, you know, normality, which people have been craving out for so long for as well. And just to get that normality back to your weekends, speaking about Peter Reid and supporting your team, yeah, I think a lot of people are just relieved to get back to football.
Relief to get back to football, and hopefully by the end of the season we've proved a lot of the bookies wrong and they're going to be spewing and whatnot, which, as we face it, we'd like to be bookie bashers now and again.
Yeah, well, I've got the accounts looked out on Twitter so that when it does come round to me next season, I know who to go and have a chat with. But yeah, I don't know why a lot of the bookies and all the ones that I've seen have got us like stick on for relegation, that I do find it surprising, but hopefully, we can prove them wrong.
I don't know what it's based on, because if they're based on the League Cup campaign, then they really should look into it a wee bit more in terms of the players that were playing, etc. But I just didn't see what it's based on.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I think there is some. It seems to be us, Clyde and Dumbarton, they've just lumped us all at 40-1, you know, which basically just say you're going down. But based on what, I don't know, because as you said, if it's a Premier Cup competition, then, you know, I don't think much teams have paid much attention to it. They've rotated squads and whatnot. So, I'll be delighted if come May we can prove them wrong.
Yeah, let's hopefully that is the case then. So that'll be it for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks go to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.